Luke chapter number 8 is where we need to be for the preaching of God's Word. I appreciate the fact that you've already turned there, and I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled The Light of God's Word, and it comes from Luke chapter number 8 and verses 16 to 18. So the Word of God tells us there, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And let's do this. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the time of preaching here of God's Word. Dear Lord, I do thank you so much for your Word. I thank you for the fact that, Lord, you've given us this opportunity this morning to be a part of a service. Lord, thank you for the opportunity this morning to be a part of a local church. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ that you've placed here, and I do thank you for every person that's in attendance here this morning. Thank you for those who are watching via live stream. Dear Lord, I ask that you would especially help this time where we look into your Word, where we see what your Word says. Lord, help us to come humbly before your Word and to not just agree to it necessarily, but to allow it to change our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit of God, I recognize that it's not about me and how good I can be at preaching. It is rather all about you taking your Word and applying it to every single individual. And Holy Spirit, I know you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I would ask or think, even in that area. And I pray that in a mighty way, you would magnify your Word, that you would take it and apply it to every heart, that you would help us to be able to see this morning whether or not the light of the truth of your Word is shining in our hearts. And I pray that you would enable me to preach in such a way that it would be easy for folks to hear your voice. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would even humble me at the same time that you exalt yourself. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, again, the light of God's Word is the title of the message. I want you to think about this, the fact that in our previous message, so last week's message, we talked about the parable that Jesus gave about the sower and the seed. And remember that God was the sower, the seed is the Word of God, and the responsibility for whether or not fruit ever comes of any of that is not on the sower. The sower does his work and is faithful to, in a very liberal manner, give out the seed of his Word. The focus of that is that the responsibility is on the ground, the soil, to be prepared and ready, to have the rocks out for when weeds come up, to pull those weeds out, to be tender soil that's not trodden down of men and hardened. The responsibility is on us and whether or not we hear God's Word. That's why Jesus said in verse 8 of this chapter, where he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, in this second illustration that Jesus gave, I want to point out to you that Jesus is speaking along the same lines. When we read verses 16 to 18, we're reading another illustration that Jesus gave about the same truth. That being that the responsibility for hearing is not on God, the responsibility is on us. Let me put it more specific. The responsibility is on you for your own life and whether or not you hear God's Word. And that's why Jesus, again, would say to us, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." God will be faithful. God will do his part. The question is, will you hear his Word? When we think of this illustration here that Jesus gave about the light being on a candle and a candle and a candlestick and not under a bushel or not under a bed, all of that, we think of that kid's song, don't we? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We think of it more as a soul-winning thing, which, by the way, is definitely a good illustration. But I don't believe that's the focus of what Jesus was saying. It's not just a soul-winning illustration about I need to shine my light so that people will see it. It's more about an illustration that is explaining to me the importance of what I do with the truth that I'm given. So I want to give you four words that come to my mind as I read this passage of Scripture, and I want to share those with you. The first word is this: point. as in, what's the point of this illustration? Okay? So you can think of that. What's the point of this illustration? Well, verse number 18 tells us the point. Remember, by the way, when we read verse 18, look for the word therefore and wonder, what is it there for? It's there to point us back to what was previously said. Notice verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So the point of the whole illustration is to tell you and me that we need to take heed, therefore, how we hear. Here's what Jesus says in this parable. There are some who have much of God's word, and they will be given more. There are some who do not have much of God's word, and from them will be taken even that which they seem to have. Let me put it to you this way. God does not give the same amount of light to every person. Again, I'm going to say that. God does not give the same amount of light to every person. God is discriminatory on who he gives light to. And it's the responsibility for you and me on whether or not we get more is what we do with what we have. So the point of it is, if we have some of the word of God, we'll be given more. If we have none, from us will be taken even that which we seem to have. The second word that comes to my mind when looking at this passage is the word know, as in K-N-O-W. Like, what do you know? How can we know if we have the truth that Jesus is speaking of? Because remember who Jesus was speaking to in this passage of Scripture. He was not speaking to a bunch of Gentiles that did not know the Word of God. He was speaking to a bunch of people like you and me that grew up with, not everyone in here did, but many of us grew up with the Word of God. He was speaking to a bunch of Jews who were religious, good, moral people. People that you and I probably would enjoy hanging out with. They would have been our neighbors and our friends, and we would have been glad to be their neighbors because they were moral, God-fearing people. And that's a good thing. By the way, doesn't a society need good, moral, God-fearing people in order to be a good society? Don't you wish we had a society like that? We do in some cases, in some places, but not as much as we used to. But these are the kind of people who are good, moral, God-fearing people. We would have been glad to be their neighbors. And yet Jesus is saying to them, take heed how ye hear. If you have, you'll be given more. If you don't have, that will be taken from you. Even that which you seem to have will be taken. Listen, it is important. How can we know if we have what Jesus is speaking of? So if I were to ask you this question, are you one of the ones that has, or are you one that has not? Are you a have or a have not? Most of us would say, well, I'm one that has. Okay, well, the problem with that is sometimes we judge the wrong way on whether or not we have. And the whole point of this illustration that Jesus gave is we can now know whether or not we have. And let me put it to you this way. It's not about in whether or not you hear God's word, as in you hear it with your physical ear. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter number 1. Keep your place in Luke 8. We will be back there with the Lord's help. But look with me, if you would, at James chapter number 1. Here's a passage of Scripture that many of you will know. James chapter number 1. James 1, verse number 22. Here the word of God tells us, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So let me ask you this question again. Is it enough to be a hearer of the word? No, it is not enough to be a hearer of the word. In other words, it's not enough to come and sit and hear God's word, although I'm glad you do that. And we need to do that. That is an important part of what we do. We need to hear God's word. I hope that you read the Bible on a daily basis.
I hope you meditate on God's word consistently. I hope that you listen to good, solid Bible preaching and you come and are a part of the church on a very regular basis and hear all the preaching you can get and the messages and teaching on God's word. I hope you do that. But friends, let me tell you, that is not enough. We need to also be doers of the word. James 1 tells us that. So again, the way that we know whether or not we are a have or a have not is not about whether or not we hear. Let me give you another question that will have an obvious answer, and that is it about agreeing with the Word of God? Does that make you a have? And the answer is no. It's not about agreeing with the Word of God either. There are many people who agree with the Word of God, but that does not make us a doer of the Word. We can know that what is said is right, and it doesn't change a thing. Have you ever talked with a friend or maybe a relative? Maybe they're having financial trouble, and you've given them advice, and you've said, listen, you need to stop spending in this area, and you need to start saving over here, or you need to change your priorities, or this thing, or that thing, and they agree with you, and years later, their life has not changed. You know, we're like that with spiritual things many times. We give mental assent to what God says. I know that you're right, God. God, that is right. That does not make us a have, somebody who has. It's not about hearing. It's not about agreeing. Here's what it is about. Here's how you can know whether or not you are one of those who has the truth of God. And the answer is in the placement that truth has in your life. Where has it been placed? Where is it in your life? So let's move on to the third word. So the first word was point. Second word was know. Third word is placement. Placement. What illustration does Jesus give us of this needed item that he's talking about here, where if you have some, you'll be given more. If you don't have, even what you seem to have will be taken away. What illustration does he give us this time? Remember what he gave us last time? The seed of God's word. Remember, he gave us the illustration of a sower, or we might say a farmer. This time he gives a different illustration, comes at it from a different angle. Let's read these verses again. Verse 16 of Luke chapter number 8. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. This time the illustration is a candle. And the whole idea of the placement of the candle is this. When you light a candle, where do you place it? Well, according to our illustration, some apparently would put the candle under a bed, which I was thinking about and meditating on. It's a good way to set your bed on fire, by the way. Don't do that. The fire marshal would not appreciate that, all right? Do not set the candle under your bed. You will have a warm night's sleep, okay? But we understand a candle is not lit so that it can be placed under a bed. Why? Because the light will do no good. The light will not affect anything. Think about it. Being in a dark room, lighting a candle. You want the candle to affect the room. But if you place it under a bed, it's hidden. In Matthew 5, Jesus used the illustration of putting it under a bushel. Same thing. It covers it up and the light does no good. The issue here is placement. Where you put the truth that God gives you. The title of the message is The Light of God's Word. Where are you putting God's Word in your life? That's the question. We are told rather than putting it under a bed, we should let God light the candle or the light of the candle in our life, and then we should lift it up on high, put it on a candlestick, lift it up and get it up into the air. Why? Well, the obvious answer is so that the light of that truth can spread throughout the room of our life. And the beautiful thing about the truth of God's word is that it's illustrated here by a candle. And a candle is not discriminatory in where it gives its light. Anywhere that is open to the light of a candle will get some light. When you, again, turn on the light in your room, for an example, all you have to do is turn the light on in your room, and every corner of your room is affected by the light, obviously, unless there's something blocking the light. But as long as everything is out of the way, the light will shine wherever it's allowed to shine. And you know that the issue with whether or not you and I are a have or a have not, as far as the truth of God's word is, where do we place the truth in our life? Is it affecting us at all? Is it having an effect on your life? Or is it just something that you hear and maybe even you give mental assent to? Yep, that's good. Yep, I agree with all that. It needs to be something that affects you. That is the issue. So are you placing the candle of God's truth in a place in your life where it affects everything? And that leads us to the fourth and the final word that I think of when I see this passage of Scripture, and I want to share it with you. And this is kind of the whole point of the message. Here we go. The first word was point. Second was no. Third was placement. The fourth and final word is purpose. In other words, what is the purpose of putting a candle on a candlestick? And it's obvious that it is so it will shine its light throughout the entire room. The way that you can know whether or not you are somebody who has the truth of God's word is, has it affected your life? Is there a change in you? I don't care how many church services you attend, how many messages you listen to. I don't care how long you've been a member of the church, when you were baptized, this thing, that thing, how much money you give, etc. None of that has anything to do with it. It does have this to do with it. Is your life affected? Because if your light is not affected, then you have lit the candle and placed it under the bed. And Jesus would say here, if we look back at Luke chapter number 8, verse 18, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. If you're just placing the candle under the bed, then the message that Jesus would give to you is take heed. Because it's going to even be taken from you what you already seem to have. And friends, we're seeing that in our society today, aren't we? The United States of America, a long time ago, ceased to light the candle of God's truth that was given to her and put it on a candlestick and allow it to affect the nation. And we decided that God was to be placed on a shelf somewhere, out of school, out of normal civil life, out of the courts, out of everything else, and we're to relegate God to a place of worship on a Sunday morning, and that's it. He didn't belong in the workplace. He didn't belong in the court system or in the public square. He didn't belong in the public schools, any of those things. And you know what God has done? God has taken from us the light, even that which we seemed to have, hasn't he? And we're seeing that today. We're seeing that all around us. Listen, make no mistake about it. We are seeing the demise of our nation before our eyes. And if God does not intervene and change things, we will be relegated to what Great Britain has become. And why? Because the light of God's truth was not allowed to make a difference. Now, wait a minute. You and I can complain all day long about the United States of America, and I do it probably as much as anybody else. But you know, I can't necessarily affect everything that goes on in our country, but I can affect me. I can affect my family. And I can let the light of God's truth shine in my life. I can take the Word of God and let it affect every corner of my life. And that's the way that I can know if I'm going to receive more. Is there any effect given? Is there anything that's being done? Is there any change being made? Now look back at Luke chapter 8, and I want to point out to you what Jesus said again in verse 16. We've read it a couple times, but look with me again at Luke 8, verse 16. And Jesus said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, notice this, that they which enter in may see the light. So the point of putting the candle on a candlestick is so that it will affect the entire room, but also so that when other people come into that room, they can see. And you know that I need to make sure that the light of God's truth affects me in such a way that every area of my life is affected, so that every area of my life that touches anyone else, or using the illustration Jesus gave, someone coming into my life will be affected by the light. And you know that people come into my life All the time. All the time. Obviously, my family is the biggest example. And you know, one of the saddest things sometimes is the fact that many times we say we have the light, but our family wouldn't agree with us. Because they would, if they were honest, say, you know, that light never touched me. You may have had it, but it was under a bed because it never affected me. It never made a difference in the way you treated me and the way you act with me. And I'm not talking about, you know, our church necessarily. I'm not picking on anybody here, but I'm just saying I've seen some things from Christian families sometimes. And again, I'm not talking about anybody in our church, but I've seen some things from Christian families sometimes. And I think to myself, I don't even know if you're saved in the way you treat your fellow family. And yet that same person would say, the truth of God's word is something that I agree with. Well, maybe so, but it's under a bed because it hasn't affected your life. And the people who are your family members would not agree. But not just family. Listen, they're the ones who know the most, don't they? And they do know. Ouch. But what about our neighbors? Because they're touched by the light or lack thereof. What about the society that we live in? This last Thursday night, had the opportunity to go out on street ministry, and that is open, by the way, 6:30 on Thursday nights. You can join us and meet us for that. But listen, had an opportunity to go out on street ministry and talk with a couple of people downtown who were very obviously on the other side of the political spectrum from me, and they would agree with some of the things that have gone on recently in our society that I would disagree with. But you know, we were able to have a very civil and good discussion about God and His Word and what God's Word says about these things that are going on in our political climate these days. And you know that they said a couple of different times, they made a statement something like this, something to the effect of that they enjoyed talking with me and they appreciated the spirit that I had. Now listen, here's the thing, you know this, it's not me. Any one of you would have had the same discussion with them. It's not about pastor and how spiritual pastor is. Here's the issue, and I pointed this to them. It's the Spirit of God. It's because Jesus Christ lives within me, and what you like about me is the Spirit of God. And listen, you have the same Spirit of God that I do, you would have been able to have the same conversation with them, and they would have appreciated the conversation with you. But that's an example, isn't it, friends, of how our society ought to see. Well, there's something different about those folks. And what is that something different? Well, the light of God's truth is more than something that we stand behind the pulpit and say, yep, boy, I agree with that, pastor, and then go out and yell at people and cuss people and, you know, all the rest. It ought to be something that as we go out into society and we're dealing with things nowadays we haven't had to deal with in a very, very long time, that people ought to be able to say, wow, there's some light there. They may disagree with me, but you know that light, it's touching me. And they ought to be affected. Turn with me to Matthew 5. We'll close with this. Matthew chapter number 5. Here's the way Jesus put it in His Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus was giving a same type of illustration using a little different terms in Matthew 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Here's the way Jesus put it there. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. He goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, and what are the next two words? Good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know how we can know whether or not we are a have or a have not when it comes to God's truth? Good works. You know what will shine forth in my life and give glory to God and give light to my fellow man? Is the good works that go out of my life based on what I have read and heard and acted upon in God's Word. The way I'll know if I've lit that candle and put it up on a candlestick is not about whether or not I can sing, whether or not I give in the offering, whether or not I do this thing or that thing, whether or not I dress right or have the right standards or say the right words. It is about in my good works and how they affect my fellow man. What do I do? How do I act towards my fellow man? And if I am a source where God can shine forth His light through me to others, then I know that He'll give me more. But if it's all just a show, and I just hear it and say, yep, I agree with that, and listen, slowly but surely, God will take from me even that which I seem to have. Friends, it's important not just what we hear, it's important what we do. Has it affected your life? Has it affected those around you? Let's pray, and then we'll have a short time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this illustration that You have given us in Your Word of what Your truth should do in our hearts and our lives. I thank You, Lord, that it's not just about hearing, not just because we have the law of God that we're more righteous than others, but the question is whether or not it has affected us, whether or not there is a change, whether or not others are helped by our good works, our Father is glorified by them. Lord, now would You show us in our lives where we lack? Would You give us repentance? Would You grant us faith? Lord, I pray that You'd move and work, not only here in the auditorium, but even with those who are watching via live stream. I pray, work in a powerful way in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And if God spoke to your heart, the altar's open. You can come and do business with God here at the altar. If you want, you can just use your chair there as an altar. If you're at home, obviously you can do the same there. But I would encourage you, however you do it, to act upon God's Word and what He's done. Ask Him, say, Lord, is Your Word just something that I agree with, something that I hear but doesn't change me? Or, Lord, has it changed me? Is there any good work at all that people can see? Ask yourself this question. What would my family say if someone were to ask them, do I have the candle of God's truth on a candlestick in my life, or is it under a bed? The altar's open. You come and do business with God. Here. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. Thank you for putting up with a little bit of a difference in how things ran a little bit this morning. Lord willing, that'll be the last time we'll have to do that. But it's certainly, we've had to be a little bit of church acrobats lately, and we're getting through it though with the Lord's help. Appreciate your understanding on all of those things. I want to remind you to be in prayer for one another, continue to pray for each other. And that would be important, and we want to continue to do that. Also, remember the announcements that were given a little bit earlier, and then when we dismiss here in just a few moments, you're welcome to fellowship if you want. The folks who were downstairs, they won't be able to necessarily mix with you in here, but as long as you're outside, you can mix with them outside. That's a little bit different out there. Things are a little safer out there. So if you want to fellowship with those who are downstairs, you can certainly fellowship outside. I would encourage you to do that. It's a beautiful day today. And that way you don't have to breathe stale air either. That's a little better for all of our health. And so anyway, remember again to pray for one another, and we'll see you tonight, Lord willing. And I think that's about it. Let me ask you to stand to your feet at this time. Brother Pietro, would you mind coming up here and closing us in a word of prayer? When Brother Pietro's done praying, then you are dismissed. God bless you and have a great afternoon. We'll see you a little bit later, and thank you so much.
Father, thank You for this beautiful, gorgeous day, especially this time that we can be in Your house, hear Your word preached. It has been a long time that we've not been able to be here, but now that we are, it is great. We thank You for it. We thank You for all Your blessings. We thank You for loving us and caring for us, and we thank You for just being in us and We pray that we let our light shine so that other people can see that, and that just help us to trust in you more and to believe in your word. We thank you for all this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.